been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. As I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit revealed that there's a spirit of error that's in our world, a spirit of deception, a deviation. It is a spirit that causes a deviation from the truth and the way of righteousness. So the spirit of error or the spirit of deception will take an established truth and call it a lie. This spirit will embrace doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. Because God loves me, I don't have to repent. God accepts me as I am. That's one of those doctrines of demons. Now, I'm going to go through several scriptures. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I want to show you beyond any shadow of a doubt that repentance is still a part of the gospel. What we have is a lot of people that don't want to repent. They don't want to turn from their wicked ways. They want to just say, God loves me, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and I don't want nobody to mess with me. Don't rock my boat. Don't rock my boat. All right, listen to this right here. Let me give you the meaning of the word repent before I read those scriptures. To repent means to change one's mind for the better. It is a change in mind that results in a change in actions and behavior. In other words, like a turning away from sin. That is the proof of repentance. It also means to feel remorse, regret, or sorrow for one's wrongdoing or sin. So to change one's mind about living without the Lord Jesus and putting your faith in him is true repentance. I repented on the day that I changed my mind about how I was living my life. And I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. So I had a change of mind that took place. Now, this change only takes place by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. So nobody repents on their own, by themselves. It takes God working in your life to bring you to a place that you don't want that life no more. And you're willing to do whatever it takes to get out of that life. You're willing to turn from your sin and to turn from ungodliness, and you turn to God. That's what real repentance is. Amen? It's where you're willing to say, I need a change, and you change your mind about how you're living. Amen? When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people got saved, guess what he told them to do? He said, repent! He said, change your mind, because Jerusalem was filled with people who thought Jesus was false. There were people that thought he was just a good man. So Peter, when he said, repent, he said, change your mind about Jesus. Change your mind about him. He's not just a good man. You know, he's not some rebel who was crucified. Change your mind about him. I'm going to tell you, he's alive. And he is the Savior. And these men were cut to the heart. And they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the life of God coming in you. He preached repentance. Now, let me go through some of these scriptures here. We okay with what repent means? All right, now, Matthew 4:7, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 9:13, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Mark 1:15, and this is one of my favorite, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Notice here that repentance, a change of mind, takes place before you put faith in Jesus. And you'll see it in the scripture like this in several places where they talk about repentance, repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Repentance comes first. But some people want to bypass repentance and just want to go to believing the gospel. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Did you repent of your sin? You don't want to bypass that part. Oh, I know the Lord loved me. Yeah, I know he loved you too. But did you repent? He loved you before you came to Christ. Amen? He loved you before he even sent Jesus. So just saying God loves you, thank God he does. Thank God that he ain't got any hatred in him toward us. We'd be in bad shape. But the Bible says that Jesus loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. Iniquity deals with man's behavior toward God. That's what he hates. He hates sin. He hates sinful behavior. Just like I hate disobedient behavior out of my children. Can't stop me from loving them. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Tell your neighbor. Repent and believe the gospel. All right. In Luke 13:3, Jesus talking to religious people. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see how important repentance is? He said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Luke 15:7, Jesus said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So sinners must repent. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. I'm going to tell you, they threw a party today. I got saved. I was one of them ones. I was one of them sinners that repented. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the angels were rejoicing in heaven. They say, Greg, then come in. There's a sinner that done repented down there in Baton Rouge, Southern University. Jones Hall, 403 AB. Oh, I'm going to tell you, if you can see the rejoicing, they go over one. One sinner that repents. Repent. Repent. Luke 24:47. After Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he tell his disciples? He says, I want repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is what Jesus said. He was giving them instruction. He said, now, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. The word remission means release from bondage or imprisonment. It means forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. So when you repent, then God forgives and pardons and lets your sin go and treats them as if they never existed. And because he's able to do that in his mercy and in his justice, you know, mercy and justice have kissed together. Mercy and truth, they've kissed together. Amen. And so God brought redemption. And because of the blood that Jesus shed, when God looks at me, he no longer sees my sinful condition. And therefore, I'm able to have fellowship with him. Just like I never sinned. It's the power of repentance. It's having your sins remitted, washed away. Acts 2:38, which I told you about Peter. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 17:30, God now commends all men everywhere to repent. Acts 20:21, testifying, this is what Paul said, testifying to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, repentance is a part of the gospel. Amen. Acts 26:20, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You see, when Paul stood before King Agrippa and gave his testimony about how he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Paul said, I'm not doing anything but telling men that they need to repent and do works meet for repentance. Now, I always wonder, I say, now, King Agrippa said, Paul, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. And so I asked myself, what is it about the gospel that caused Agrippa not to go on all the way? And this is what I believe. You don't have to believe this, but this is what I believe. I believe that it was the part about repentance that he couldn't handle. Because repentance means you're going to have to change your ways. And he said, Paul, almost you persuade me. What was it that kept him? What was it that kept him from going in and go ahead and be a Christian? I believe it was the repentance part. You're going to have to change how you're living. You say, almost you got me. What was the almost? What was holding him back? I believe it was the repentance part. People don't want to turn from their sin. People don't want to give up their ungodly lifestyle, but they want to force it on you and make you call it normal. People have a right to do what they want to do. God gave man a free will. Amen. But man has never been given the right to change the truth. He ain't never been given no authority from God to change truth into a lie. And if you start trying to change truth into a lie, then you're going to have a problem with me. I don't have to accept that. And you can call me anything you want to call me. You can call me a bigot. You can call me a hater. I ain't hating on nobody. You hating on me when you try to tell me that something that God said is a sin ain't a sin. Now you hating on me. Now you being a bigot toward me, trying to stuff unbelief and trying to stuff ungodliness and trying to stuff those lies down my life and trying to stuff it down society's life. Yeah, now you're the one that's hating. Stuff that's been a sin for thousands of years. All of a sudden in 50 years, all this done changed? In 50 years, God done changed his mind? After all of these years, he done changed his mind and said, you know what, I was wrong about this. I messed up. I'm going to tell you, if that's so, he ain't God. But I tell you one thing, he ain't changed his mind, and he is God, 100% God. 100% holy God. The devil just know how to intimidate people. He'll intimidate the church. Don't want the church speaking out. If you speak out, we're going to label you. We're going to call you a bigot. We're going to call you a hater. We're going to call you a fanatic. We're going to call you an extremist. If you open your mouth about these social issues, we're going to put a tag on you. And then we're going to legislate laws that prevent you from doing it so we can put you in jail if you do it. Romans 2:4. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. 2 Corinthians 12:21. And I love this scripture here. Paul said, when I come to you, he said, I don't want to come to you in grief. I don't want to come to you in sorrow. I don't want to come to you crying. He said, when I come, I don't want to come crying. What would make Paul cry when he come visit the church? What would make Paul cry? He said, because many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Paul said, you're going to make me cry if you don't repent for your evil ways. Homosexuality is fornication. You got to repent of fornication. That ain't the only fornication. Adultery is fornication. Sex outside marriage is fornication. Sex with relatives is fornication. Oh, don't make me go there. Sex with animals. Sex with animals is fornication. People don't want to repent, so they say, oh, you know, I just like the way I'm living. I like my lifestyle and everything. God accept me the way I am. God loves me. There's the overemphasis on the love of God. Yes, God loves you, and we really can't overemphasize that, but some people will overemphasize that to hold on to their sin. And they'll try to force God to accept that. I ain't changing. You're going to have to accept me the way I am. Because after all, God, you made me this way. We're talking about repentance. Hebrews 6:1. The Bible says, talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. See, that's the love of God. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's not his will for you to perish. His will is for everybody to come to repentance, to have that change. And then in Revelation, Jesus really talked about it. Revelation 2:5, he said, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. In Revelation 2:16, he told the church, repent or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick. Then he talked about the whore in Revelation. In Revelation 2:21-22, he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. In other words, he said, I gave them time to repent. But they still didn't repent. And you can go through those scriptures, and you'll find several scriptures that talked about people who refused to repent. I mean, society almost like they got trying to put God in some kind of hammer lock. Got a headlock on him. We say it ought to be like this here. We don't care what you say. Now give in. That's where they got the church in a headlock. Got the church with the arm right there, just putting more pressure on it. It's not time for us to back up. Not time for us to bow to the gods of this age we're living in. You see, those are demon spirits that people worship at those altars in their heart. They're worshiping at the altar of demons. When you hold views and ideas and concepts and philosophies that are contrary to this. Been a lot of talk about Democratic platform, Republican Party platform. Here's my platform. This is the platform I stand on. Platform means something you stand on. What you're taking a stand on. This is what I stand on. The Word of God is my platform. This is the platform of the church. Everybody say the church got its own platform. We got our own platform. It is the Word of God. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, Jesus said, you say God love you? He rebuke you yet? Did he chasten you yet? Did he tell you to repent yet? Well, no, he ain't told me to repent. Do you show he love you? Or you close your ears. Didn't he say it? This right out of the master's mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what it says. Then Revelation 9:20-21 talks about men who did not repent of their works. They worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, who can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither did they repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You got to repent. Now, you say, Pastor Greg, what happens? Now, this is not a message of condemnation because the Lord told me to minister this word with compassion. This message has to be given with compassion because there are people that don't know they've been deceived. So you just can't come down hard on people, but you do have to give them the truth, just like the Lord give us the truth. You know, sometimes rebuke is necessary. Sometimes chastisement is necessary. But it always has to be done in love because Jesus always deal with us in the spirit of meekness and love. Amen. How many of you know love sometimes is tough, though? How many of you know love is tough? So what do I do? After you repent and believe the gospel, what happens after a person has received Christ? After one has repented and received Christ as his Lord, the Holy Spirit will begin a work of sanctification and create in us the desire and the power to please God. So our primary motivation, if we say we're Christians, one of the primary motivations that you ought to have if you say you are a believer should be the desire to please God. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
To please God.
Please God.
See, Jesus said, the Father have not left me alone. The Father is with me. I have his presence. But I always do those things that please him. You see Jesus' motivation? He says, I only do what pleases him. So if I'm doing something that's not pleasing to him, then I need to be willing to change. I need to find out what's acceptable to him, and then I make that my goal in life, is to live a life that's pleasing to him. Let me give you some scriptures on it, because that's where God wants you to be today. He wants you to check your heart out and see if you really have a strong desire on the inside to please God. Amen. John 8:29, that's the scripture. He that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always, everybody say always.
Always.
I do always those things that please him. Now Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The New Living Translation says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So if you say God is working in you and you're a Christian, then there ought to be some desire in you produced by the Holy Ghost that cause you to want to please God. That when you mess up, when you sin, you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I repent. I changed my mind about being involved in this type of stuff. I quit it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, give me the power to say no. And we know, we found out last week, God's faithful to do what? To always make a way of what? Escape out of what? Every temptation. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus, he is the example of how we should live our life. He is the pattern. Every believer should judge his words and his actions by the word of God, whether they are pleasing to God. We are to shine as lights, true sons of God, in the midst of, the Bible says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life. You see, the Bible says we are to shine as true sons and daughters of God. And we shine holding forth the word of life. I'm supposed to be holding on to something. What am I supposed to hold on to? The word of life, which is the word of God. It is the word. It is the logos of Zoe. I got the logos of Zoe, the life of God. I've got the word of God's life. Amen. Praise God. We should live to please God, not ourselves. Right? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. That's repentance. Take up his cross. That's the responsibility. And follow me. That's the plan. Plan is to follow him. Not to follow your own way. Not for you to make up your own rules. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We speak not as pleasing men, but God who tries our heart. Galatians 1:10 says, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. This is the way we're supposed to live. So, you know, I don't always understand why God give me certain things. I just, when he give them to me, my job just speak. My job just tell you what he tell me. Amen. I wanted to preach on something else. I want to talk about the anointing today. We're going to get to the